But Sauk Makrishma. Sauk Makrishma, which is the last time for Krishma, both of them in the Kagura, is 3 hours into the day, and Chatzos is 6 hours into the day. Those 3 hours were being judged. Thank you very much. Somebody came in. Somebody came? Miss Aberbach? Oh, Baruch Hashem. Miss Platnik, yes. And, oh, Miss Feingold, you didn't have to. You're on the list.
Oh, fine.
Okay, no problem. I'll just take away the absence. Come on. Okay. Miss Nozhnitsky? Very good. Miss Kaplan? Somebody came? Miss Aberbach?
Yes.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. Miss Platnik, yes. And, oh, Miss Feingold, you didn't have to. You're on the list.
Oh, fine.
Okay, no problem. I'll just take away the absence. Come on. Okay. Miss Nozhnitsky? Very good. Miss Kaplan? What's your first name? Is Amy? I just want to see you. I'm sorry. Okay, very good. Welcome. You're all registered? There we go. One. Okay. Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, no Shabbos. Women are exempt from Shabbos, believe it or not. People don't realize that. They think after a woman has to be a Shabbos, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. Not true. She's exempt. Why? The famous rule, come on. Man Grama. I remember 1 year Rosh Hashanah, my wife could not get a Shabbos. Believe it or not, 20-something years ago, she couldn't get out, couldn't find a babysitter. She didn't have a Shabbos that day. So what? Still, even though women are exempted, they're allowed to blow shofar. You're allowed to blow shofar for them on Rosh Hashanah. We shouldn't say, since they're not obligated, we shouldn't blow shofar. Because blowing shofar for no purpose is what we call a prohibition, a rabbinical prohibition. Hashmiya kol, musical instruments, things of this nature. No. Women are exempt, but if they blow, they get mitzvah points. Get mitzvah points, therefore it's justified to blow the shofar by them before them on Rosh Hashanah. According to the Shulchan Aruch, he can't make a bracha. And he's fine here. He can't make a bracha. The Hakatim Mishivon, they weren't commanded. But the Ashkenaz, you can make a bracha. That's the bracha we have. So therefore, the woman can make a bracha for herself. The man. They can also, in theory, make a bracha for her, but better she should make a bracha for herself.
She's not allowed to blow the shofar.
Why not?
Is she?
Absolutely. Okay. How long must the TSB is a very complex discussion. We're going to skip it. Ooh. Assume that the rabbi does it right. Now we have Musaf. Musaf is a very special Musaf. I should add one more thing before. There's a dispute whether you're allowed to eat before the shofar or not. Some, I grew up in a shtibel, as well as in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, they actually took an official break before the kids to go eat. Really, the kiddush, they ate, because the davening slept too long. People were hungry. So they took a break to eat. I don't like it. In regular shuls, all you need is they'll never get back. I don't even get the time back physically, they'll never get back. Their minds are still on the case. So we don't allow any break. Someone is sick, can't wait. We have to make some private kiddush. We finished davening, you know, shortly after Chatzos, won something. So you go a little hungry, it's good for the soul. Some yeshivas go to four. That's really bad, really. It's a week. But then, all right, they go to four, so then they have to make kiddush before the davening. In my shtibel, they made kiddush because they went to the rabbi and go to the mikveh. That was the real reason, I believe. So I don't go to the mikvah, and we mentioned last week, we mentioned we're going to have a Rosh Shabbat. So we go right straight from one to the other. Okay, it's important. The Matzah of Rosh Hashanah is very, very important. The 10th Sukkim, what we call Malkiyos, the Kronos, and Shofas. The three themes of Rosh Hashanah. You just say what's in the Matzah. What is important, though, I believe, is to maintain as much as possible the old customs. You shouldn't change customs. Changing customs, bad news. Rav Moh writes later, Hilchos Yom Kippur, don't change any customs. Even a nigger you shouldn't change. I'm davening, I tell you, for many years, the same is going every year. What the latest FBD? Same they're going to every year. You're in and you're out. You're in. The people of Shulam are going to buy hot already, which is the way it's supposed to be. Supposed to be familiar. Every year, the same thing again and again and again and again. Yeah? In the house? No. Any of that thing you want to do. The latest regesh, the latest anything. I don't know if you're like, I'm free. Whatever you want to do, it's fine. But in Shul, you stick to the old minhag. That's the custom, that's quoted in the Maharil once said, an unbelievable line. The Maharil was the one who said he shouldn't change. Said he wanted to change the minhag. And it was a terrible personal tragedy in his life. He lost a daughter. And he blamed the loss of his daughter on the fact that he changed a nigger. Fine, Bob. Yes?
Is that
like regular Muslim? Regular Muslim. Usually not the same about Tefillah. We're going every year, always changing, and always this.
Right.
Built into change. But
okay.
Down the wrong principle, the song, the Gunim, which are universal, are almost universal.
Right.
Baruch Hu, I don't know if you recognize it, the Gunim. Baruch Hu, and Kaddish, the Kaddish, Musaf, and the Kaddish, for Nila, and the Kaddish, for Myrim. And you probably recognize it because it's in your blood. All the guys thought he wants to sing a new tune, a beautiful tune, I don't know, Regish 9, I don't know what. It's nicer than the old thing. No, don't do that. It's dangerous. It's dangerous for your life. Just don't do it. Stick to the old custom. Yeah?
Which the reason is because of
Kavanah? That's one of the reasons. Number of reasons. That's one of the reasons. Mix up the people. You mix the people up. Which you change the they used to X. You say Y. They're mixed up. I'd like to mention a few comments that the Rav, one of the Rav of Salvation, my Rebbe, had told us about the text of the Maariv. Okay, you don't have the Maariv in front of you, but nevertheless, you'll write it down and you'll get your Maariv and you'll see what I have in mind. The first concerned the 10th Sukkim of Malkus, the Kronos, and Shofas. The Gemara seems to say, the way it works, you have three from Torah, three from Sukkim, three from the Nevi'im, and you end with Torah. In Zichronos and in Shofros, the end of the 10th pasuk is part of the bracha itself. If you use that, you feel don't know the Maariv by heart, but I guess you familiarize you with raising 12 months plus, so she was a leap year. There's Rosh Hashanah. Wow, it's a long time. So, we say, Zichronos is the part of the Fanecha. At the end, as it says in the pasuk, there's a Zachariah language we show. Pasuk in Parshas Bukulkosa. Hashem promised to remember the covenant with our ancestors. It shows us too. Our candle, Kevasenu, Kavah Shalva God, the Kevasenu, da da da. As it says, the Yom's of Chaskan of Mordechem, Chaskan of Chatotus. By the way, the whole fight, it says Chatotus and Shofar. So the light of our custom on our mouth is set. So the Rav thought the same thing should apply to Malchus too. The 10th pasuk of Malchus is Shema Yisrael. Zak of Shema Yisrael is not found in the middle of the bracha. The Lekan of Lekan will say the Malocha Kol Olam Shenema Shema Yisrael. The Rav answered the reason why it's not found in the middle is because it's exactly the same bracha that's used for Myron, the Shacharis, and the Mincha. We don't say 10th pasuk. They didn't want to change the actual text of the bracha. So we say Shema Yisrael before the bracha, that he claimed that it really relates to the bracha. It's sort of part of the bracha. You see, the 10th pasuk, it's like a tefillah. You pray to Hashem. And the relevance